Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Tracy, each of these conversations can go in a lot of different directions. Yeah. And our conversation last week kind of took us to this place of life is not always easy. Right. We live in this life of good news, you know, the gospel. But in the middle of this life here on earth, there is a lot of bad news. But we do not have to endure that alone. We need people beside us.
So true. So true. And I just wanted to tell you, Chris, I'm grateful for our deep and close friendship over these last 15 plus years. You guys may not know this about us, but Chris and I are not just buddies on a podcast. We're buddies in life. There's almost never a day that I don't have conversations with this guy. And thank God for technology, right? So this is just not something we do on a Next Step Leadership Podcast. A huge voice in my life is Chris Maxwell, and I hope to be just a little tiny squeaky voice in your life, too. Well, we've been joined by a man with a big voice, and I have just so enjoyed having you with us. Bill Schwartz Yes. is a missionary. He's a pastor. He's worn a lot of different hats, but he's our brother in Christ. He has a deep love for Jesus and for seeing people become all that God has prepared and called them to be. And what a rich time we had last week. Bill, welcome back to Next Step Leadership.
Thank you so much, guys. It's a pleasure again. To be with you.
Well, last week, and if you haven't listened to last week, I would encourage you to stop right now and go back and listen to last week's podcast, because there's some great stuff about mentoring and about friends and about leadership. And we were sharing off mic that there were some things that you had just God, I think the Lord just dropped in your heart for this particular time that have to do with life and leadership. And there were just kind of three keys looking back to say, man, here's some good practical advice for how to be effective and to live not just successfully, but to live leaving a legacy, you know. So Bill, I would love for you just to jump right into those
things. Well, sure. Thank you guys again for the opportunity. I'll mention three things and then maybe cap it off with the last thing we spoke about last week. And the first thing is this. One of the things we really encourage the people that we mentor and that we lead, and it's something that I was encouraged to do in our mentorship, and that is to develop a life statement. It's something that defines, you know, Proverbs 29 tells us, without a vision, people perish. And what's interesting in that, in the Hebrew, what it literally says is that without a revelation from God, people have no discipline. They cast off restraint. And so when God reveals vision to us, it gives us purpose. It gives us focus. I often say that vision is like the blinders of the horse, that it keeps him looking ahead and not being distracted what's on the left and what's on the right. There's going to be relational distractions. There's going to be financial distractions. There's going to be, you know, just attacks in our life. And when we realize what's ahead of us, when we realize that the God-given vision is ahead of us, it keeps us focused. So that life statement gives vision to our life. And I'll just simply tell you guys, my life statement is simply this. I live to make a difference. I live to make a difference. Last week in the podcast, I shared about the guy on the basketball court who told me if I gave my life to Jesus, that he would change it forever. And I believed him. Well, there was another youth pastor in my life, Kevin Pitt, that we're standing in the bathroom of our local church. Washing our hands, he said, Bill, I just believe if you'll commit to make a difference, that God will give you the opportunity to do that. And that's just been a significant moment in my life, hearing that. And so my life statement, when people ask me why I exist, well, I live to make a difference. And I do that by building people and building organizations. And I think it's really important that as leaders and as people, that we have a statement that we lean on. There's a book I would recommend Craig Groeschel's most recent book that has just been significant for me. And there's something that he says in there that just jumped off the page for me, and that is the power to change. And he talks about the fact that we have to really define who we are. And there's certain things. In fact, he tells a funny story about watching a fight and realizing this is not who I am. I need to break this up. And it's even something I've trained my kids. There's things that we do because this is who we are. There's things that we don't do because this is who we are. And I think it's important that you define who you are. Terry Hoggard is a leader, a church plant leader, mentor in my life. And one of the things that he told me early on, when you're planting a church, go to the local city, go to the other churches in the community and tell them who you are and what you're doing. Because if you don't define who you are, they're going to define you. And you want it coming from you, not anybody else. So that's just an encouragement that I want to just tell people. You know, often people are trying to figure out what is the call and the purpose on my life. Mm-hmm. What is my purpose? And I think there's a few things you can evaluate to discover that. Number one, evaluate your giftings. Right? Mm-hmm. Whatever God's given you, whatever you're good at, that's a gift. That's a gift given from Him, and He's probably wanting you to use it for Him. Number two, evaluate your desires. Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, that we need to put Him first. And if we're putting God first, and that's the life that we live, then the desires He's given us is most likely coming from Him. And then number three, consult the spiritual leaders in your life that you know that are assigned to your life. And what I found, when all three of those things come together, when they collide, it gives very clear direction, and that's where you can develop that life statement. So that would be the first thing that I would encourage leaders.
So let's talk a bit more about that, Bill. I think that's going to require some intentionality, indeed, right? I'm going to have to, okay, and probably some time. So coach us through. If you were going to talk to a college student and you said, okay, I want you to help God, help put yourself in a position where God can reveal a life statement to you, what would that look like for you? Would it be retreat? Would it be go to the mountains? Would it be just get alone in your room? What coach us up practically.
Yeah, I think intimacy with God has to be intentional. And I think that it's His voice that we need to hear above and beyond. You know, that once we hear His voice, we understand His voice in our life, those other things just become confirmers, right? And I think that any moment, if it's a retreat, if it's in a dorm room, as you're saying, if it's in an office, that intimacy with God is deeply important. And for me, I'd like to tell you that my intimacy with God begins with the Word of God. I'd like to tell you that my intimacy with God begins with prayer, but honestly, my intimacy with God begins with worship. And I think it's different for everyone, but for me, that worship leads to prayer, and that worship leads to consulting His Word. And I'm one of those people that I'm usually up late at night. It started early when my kids were still living at home, and when my wife and kids would go to bed and I'd have the night to myself, I would spend hours in His presence. And that's where I would hear Him the most. And then I would dive into prayer. I would dive into His Word. Mm-hmm. That intimacy is key. It's key.
That's great. I love that you acknowledge the fact that we're different, that we're made uniquely. And you talked about the fact that we need to, what do we do well? What is it that God has deposited in our life? And other people say, hey, look, you're pretty good at that. It's surprising to meet people that just think that anybody can do those things, right? So that would be part of it. And then the passions God has given you. And when you said, when that collides together, what a beautiful thing. That is probably direction of the Holy Spirit into that area for a life statement.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say you are making a difference, by the way.
Yes, we're humbled by God's grace.
Yeah. So, absolutely. So that was number one.
Yeah, what's the next step that you take as you are discerning?
Well, that is to begin to write those things down. It's to begin to focus on. I'll just lead into the next thing I have, because I think it would answer the question. And it's not just to develop a life statement, but it is to define who you are. and then focus only on that. For us, I focus on three things and three things only. The reason I'm on the podcast with you guys today, agreeing and thank you for the opportunity to be with you, is because it fits one of those three things. You know, in ministry, there's all kinds of things that can distract us, you know. And even for leaders, business leaders in the secular world, there's all kinds of things that can distract us. But the reality is we can only be really good in a few things. So there's three things that I focus on, and that is making disciples, training leaders, and planting churches. That's what I dedicate my life to, making disciples, training leaders, and planting churches. You know, we're only given 24 hours a day. And I find that I can do those three things well if it's all that I focus on. It was Craig Rochelle that said, what's more important is not your to-do list, it's your not-to-do list.
Amen.
And to develop a list that you don't do, so that doesn't distract you from what you're supposed to do. And
that's sometimes hard, though, because we care so much for people and everything that anybody asks us to do. We
sure.
want to say yes. But often the best way to say the bigger yes is to find ways
sure.
to say no. That's not always easy.
No, it's not. And I think that's where networking becomes really important. You know, when there is a need that I can't address, I feel very confident I normally have someone I could recommend or encourage people to do. And this is that relational part of ministry that's so vital. You know, I think we mentioned last week that there's three groups of people in our life. There's those that we lead, but there's those we lead with, and there's those that lead over us. And those relationships of people we lead with often can fill the gap that you're not assigned to do, and you can recommend them. Those people really important.
Yeah, I also one of those advantages when you have those kind of people in your life is you give them the opportunity, you invite them in to engage you and to speak truth and to say, listen, you know, what are you doing here? Why are you doing that? I thought you said that these three things are important. What are you doing over here in that fourth area? It's just some accountability, which is just strong encouragement to hold to what you
absolutely.
Said you were going to do.
And let me say that early on, you know, when you're planning a church, there's not a, you know, it'd be quite arrogant to tell people, sorry, that's not my wheelhouse. It's not what I do. You know, there early on, there's tasks that you have to do because it's part of the assignment. But as a leader, our job is to work ourselves out of those places, right? As a leader, it's our job to get the train people up, give them the opportunity to sign. It's one of the reasons I'm a big believer in multiple church plants. I mean, I don't have a problem planting a church 10 kilometers up the road from where we're at, because it provides more opportunity for people to serve. And I think it's vital that we network that way.
So good. So good. Well, all right. We mentioned we've gotten through the first one was finding a mission statement, your life mission. And then you talked about having our own, discovering our own life purpose. And then you said there's a third
one. And that is to allow your definition of success to be obedience. And I think it's so important. You know, when we look at the life of Paul and we see how significant his impact is, even today, we are still being impacted by the life and ministry of Paul. But we often forget about the guy who was assigned to pray over Paul. You guys remember Barnabas, Acts chapter 9.
Yeah.
And we only hear about him one time in Scripture. There is a second time that we hear about him at the end of the book of Acts, but it's referring to the first encounter that he had with Paul. And Barnabas was assigned. I think it's an interesting conversation because God, you know, blinds Paul, sends him to Damascus, and then he tells Barnabas to go pray for him. Barnabas refuses up front and says, you know, as if he has the right to inform God, I've heard from many about this man. And the Lord just rebuked him. And I think it's in verse 15 of Acts 9, he said that he's my chosen vessel. And he's going to bear my name before kings and Gentiles. And so Barnabas goes and prays for Paul, or Saul at that time, prays for him. The scales fall from his eyes, gives him instruction. And I just want to say, even though we only hear about Barnabas this one time in Scripture, his obedience was just as significant as Saul or Paul's obedience to be the church planter and the leader that he was. And so I just want to encourage people, let obedience be your guide. My pastor, one of the greatest heroes of my life, my favorite quote that he's ever said, and I've quoted him hundreds, if not thousands of times, is that on the other side of your obedience, somebody's waiting. Somebody's waiting on the other side of your obedience.
I love that.
Powerful. I would also say that provision is waiting on the other side of your obedience. Relationships are waiting on the other side of your obedience. Fulfillment is waiting on the other side of obedience. And so when we live in a world that defines success with numbers, with names, when we live with a world that has high expectations and a social media age, I just want to say none of that matters unless we're being obedient to what God's asked us to do. And so let's let obedience be our guide. Let's let that define our success.
There's so many parts of what you're saying that are just touching me personally. Kind of the book that I've read so many times, Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Mm-hmm. And God has used that to challenge me, and it was just sent by the publishing company, a new version of it, an updated version of it, and I'm just like reading it again. And I'm like, okay, God, this is what you're calling me to do. All these different roles that you've put me in this season of my life and helping function in a variety of positions, like many different jobs and titles, but I'm still the same person in each of those. So kind of keep me on track so I can be, and my goal in life actually is to be a Barnabas. You know, as you mentioned that, I want to be a son of encouragement. I want to be a voice of encouragement and hope to others. I hope so. But as people are listening to this, many of them are just kind of unsure of who they are supposed to be. Bill, encourage them to still believe in that God's got a plan for them, that God's going to use them. Their voice isn't an important voice. Their ears need to be there for someone else, that they can listen and hear and love and make a positive difference. I just don't want people to give up.
Well, you know, John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us that a thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I think if you woke up this morning and there's breath in your body, and you're hearing our voice at this very moment, the devil's already failed in your life. There's still purpose for your being. There's still a reason why you live. And guys, listen, the three greatest things we'll ever hear in life is, number one, there's a God who loves us. He's come to redeem us, and there is salvation. Number two, there's always hope in our situation. Mm-hmm. And number three, there's a reason why you live, purpose. And I think those are the three greatest messages of the gospel.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to hear a fourth one. I want to hear that. Well done, man.
Well done. Good and faithful.
I want to hear, you know, I've been faithful to do those handful of things. And I really appreciate your encouragement, Bill, for us to not just stay the course, but stay the course. Do those things, that handful of things. I mean, two or three things that God has gifted and called and emburdened us to do, to keep the main thing, to keep following Jesus with everything within us, but to keep that focus crystal clear and not be distracted. Because Chris, I can be distracted. There's so many voices out there, but I just know I'm only responsible for a couple of things. And God, give us the capacity to stay crystal clear in that and faithful to that. As you said, obedient.
Amen.
Obedient. I just want to hear those words. You did a good job.
That's so good.
And Bill, I just want to say to you, brother, you're doing a good job.
Yes, you are.
Thank you for your faithfulness and
endurance.
Your impact over the years. Brother, I just feel like you're just getting started.
One of the questions that I want to ask right before we end, Bill, how can people find out more about you? How can they offer support? I mean, you guys are you're making a positive difference in the world, and even if we can't go there, which I would love to go there and visit you sometime, but how can we pray for you? And just this last couple of minutes, how can we pray for you and offer support?
Thank you guys so much. Well, first of all, when it comes to prayer, that God would just continue to lead us in those steps of obedience that we talked about. And there are a few transitional things that we're focusing on right now that I won't go into great detail. But they're seasonal things and they're important things. We appreciate God's continued leading and guidance. And we are missionaries.
Absolutely.
And you can find our profile on our on the website, iphc.org, within the missionary section. And we certainly appreciate your prayers. And if anybody ever wanted to partner with us, we're more than happy to for you to follow through with that there as well. I would love to tell you I have a huge social media presence. I don't. But my biggest thing is Facebook, and my Facebook's linked to our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And just look us up, Bill Schwartz in Belgium. And in addition to that, we do have an organization called Hope for Europe that that we have a private Facebook page that if people are friends on Facebook, we'll connect them to that as well. That gets more of a, you know, more intimate update on what we're doing. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks again for our time together. And if you don't mind, I would love for you to pray just a prayer, brief prayer for those who are listening, and pray a prayer that God would help each of us make those steps that we need to make so that they are the best steps that we could possibly take.
It would be my honor to do that. So, Father, we just thank you right now for everyone who is listening to this podcast, listening to this time. Lord, I just believe that this wasn't by accident, but by divine appointment from you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you just reach to those who are discouraged, reach to those who are wanting to give up, Father God, and I pray that they find hope in this. But Lord, I also pray that they reach out. Lord, your word declares that as we come close to you, you come close to us.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that as they come closer, Father God, that you put key people in their lives to walk with them, key people in their lives, Lord, to help them become all that they're supposed to be. And Lord, I pray that just through this moment we've had together, that they find that hope, they find that peace. And Lord, we pray for those assignments, Lord, to be exposed and those assignments to be revealed in each and everyone's life. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, there's nothing we can do without your grace and your power. Lord, I thank you for every leader that says, yes, I will go, I will do, and I will serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fill my
What? Ooh, are you the center?